I got the stats here, okay? I got the stats. So this is from KFYO. Are you familiar with them?
No.
They're a radio station.
Okay.
95.1. Their website.
Okay.
So in 2015,
mm-hmm.
they had the third worst snowstorm in the city's history with a total accumulation of 11.2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It marks,
less than a foot.
Mm-hmm. It marks the most snowfall since 83 when there was 16.9 inches.
Okay.
Which is the record.
That's our record?
Yep.
83.
Yep. The second biggest snowfall was recorded in 1961,
mm-hmm.
12.1 inches.
Yeah, I wasn't around then.
So this 4 feet of snow that you remember.
Felt like 4 feet. Yeah.
Doesn't look like it happened.
Mm. Felt like it. Still a lot of snow for West Texas.
6 feet of snow. You wouldn't be here,
and,
man.
And had to walk in that to get to school backwards.
Right.
Yeah, with no shoes nor socks. Mm-hmm.
We have a caller who knows everything about everything. His name is Sean in Tennessee. And he wants to chime in on Lubbock snow on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Gio.
What's up, man?
Hi. How are you going to say such crazy mess knowing I'm listening?
See, it's a good question. It's insulting to Sean and his knowledge.
You know I'm here. You know I'm on the call.
Proceed.
And last I checked, yes, Gio's right. 16.9 inches.
Well, in Lubbock, Texas, that feels like 6 feet.
Okay, I live in Lynchburg. We had 11 inches. It still was 11 inches.
Seriously. And if they get it all the time, they should know how to deal with it.
How to deal with it.
You just said it felt like that in Lubbock because, what, it's rare that that happens or it happens frequently? I don't understand that point.
It happens frequently.
Okay, so then why did 11 inches feel like 6 feet?
Because it felt like 6 feet.
Oh,
don't be a lawyer. Please. Whatever you do after the show ends, don't go into litigation.
Be a weatherman.
Yeah, don't do that either.
Be a meteorologist.
You scare the hell out of everybody.
It's going to be 12 inches, but it's going to feel like 50. Okay?
What else is going on, Sean? Anything good?
Leaving work.
Okay.
There you go.
Just enjoying watching my Titans lose.
Yeah, what the hell happened to them?
Yeah,
huh?
They played bad.
Just gross.
No, bad doesn't cover.
Why is that offense so bad, Sean?
It was as if they were playing in 6 feet of snow. I don't get it.
No. That was Buffalo.
Yeah.
Why is that offense so bad, Sean?
I'm thinking Mariota is not the answer.
Yeah, I mean.
Really?
He has not played well. Him and Jameis Winston came into this year. There's like big years for them being the third, and guys take big steps in that year, and I have not seen it from either one of them. Now, Winston's been hurt, and Marcus Mariota has not been as hurt. He had that hamstring issue and came back and played well. He actually won his best throwing games. His first game back after the hamstring, he didn't run around a lot. He just sat there in the pocket and made quick decisions. So they should be so much better than they are. And they got weapons, too, man.
Yeah, they do now.
I love that Corey Davis. He hasn't done anything. Rashard Matthews has been here or there.
Delaney Walker.
Yeah, he was one of those guys who reached out to that kid who was bullied. I mean, was there not a more 2017 story than that?
Yeah.
So first you get the bullying aspect of it, and it goes everywhere, and everybody wants to help this kid out.
Yeah.
This Keaton Jones, was it?
Keaton Jones, yeah.
So Keaton Jones, he gets bullied at school. There's a video, goes viral. There's singers and actresses and everybody.
MMA fighters, football players,
Delaney Walker actually was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Who, hey, why don't you come to the game? And then, of course, people search online, find out that his mother has got all sorts of Confederate flag stuff and slamming NFL players, and there's just some imagery there that doesn't exactly. Yeah,
the alt-right can take care of her.
Yeah. And,
there you go.
She's posted something, too, about, unless you've got a bone sticking out of your body, don't cry. So that didn't really look.
And she's crying and begging for money. The MMA fighter said he just got off the phone with her and all she wanted was money.
Which is unfortunate because this poor kid still went through all that. You know? And that's going to get lost in this. Is the fact that I mean, he shouldn't get any of the shrapnel from his mother. He shouldn't get any feel any of that. That's their own issue.
Well, hopefully she's not raising him to be a bigot like she is.
Yeah, I hope not. You know, Lithuania and Latvia, they border each other?
Yep.
You think the Latvians like the Lithuanians?
Why wouldn't they? I mean, they all used to be one with the Soviet Union, but why wouldn't they? Don't hate on each other. They're both free. They're independent countries. Go live your life.
Yeah, but you know how.
I've never heard this before.
You know how it goes, though, with bordering places. I mean, you know, you're not always friends with your neighbor, right?
They should build a wall.
Well, to my point, you know? Yeah. It's not always the most harmonious relationship.
Oh, okay.
Text.
We're going to have to ask that boy.
Text them if they like the Lithuanians. Yeah. You don't have to call them up or anything.
Yeah.
But we have a couple of contacts in Latvia. We've got Edzus, and we've got Giannis.
They love us. We're big over there.
Huge. The other guy.
Who's the other guy?
Who's the other one?
Well, Giannis is the manager.
Right.
Edzus is the guest we have on
the time. But we don't know that other. We never talked to that other guy.
Yeah, there's him.
From Translaterra, the Kumpelis guy.
Yeah, the
Universal Shop, Gherkins and Partneries, and Kumpelis.
Yeah, he's sort of a friend, too, but we've never spoken to him. Clearly. Because that's what he sounds like.
And we were discussing the things to do in Lithuania. Lithuania, because that's where the balls are going to be. And apparently this larger town, Kaunas, there's a devil museum.
Is there?
They have over 3,000 pieces, works of art depicting the devil.
People
come from all around with their version of the devil.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Herm Edwards. He would
hate that place.
Yeah.
He's not going to Lithuania.
No, he's not going.
Oh, devil museum now.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what's going on here.
So maybe they do hate them in Latvia.
Say no more.
Worshiping the devil. and maybe Carson Wentz can go there and get his ACL fixed. No?
Lithuania.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll be coaching football, by the way.
Yeah, I ain't going no devil museum.
When I ain't preaching.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, some of y'all want to go in the off season, go over to Lithuania to the devil's museum. Check out Lucifer. I met a guy the other day, first name Lou, last name Sifer. I said, hell no.
So how you get that name?
I said, Mr. Sifer, I ain't falling for your crap. I'm a Catholic now. I'll be over in Latvia and Sasis.
Only one person can tear my ACL.
Going to the Kutleries and the San Perkleries. That's where I'm going to be. I ain't going to no Lithuanian devil museum.
I'm going to see the
Devil's Digest, huh?
Okay.
Go see the Black Swan.
That's what you're going to do.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's what you do. It's going to be hot there. Just remember that.
It's cold this time of year.
Better bring your own trunks. Tank top, something.
I thought it was hot where the devil lived.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's cold there.
It's cold where?
In Lithuania.
Yeah, but the devil's there. It's going to be hot.
On the Baltic Sea, man.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, it's going to be hot. Because the devil's there. Hell, you know how it works. Flames.
I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils.
Watch out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, the Cowboys.
How you going to make a transition from devils to my Cowboys?
I don't know, because I ran out of stuff to say there. And we wanted to bring up the Cowboys.
That is just me. Yeah, because I proclaimed yesterday that they wouldn't make the playoffs, or they still have a chance to make the playoffs, and it's not one of those mathematical opportunities. They just need to win out, and then some other things need to fall in place, like the Packers need to lose a ball game, the Lions need to lose a ball game. I don't understand why the Lions need to lose, but they do. But the Packers, of course, they have the tiebreaker over the Cowboys, having defeated them earlier this year. And Cowboys just went out, and then you have to sit back and watch your fate be handled by others.
What are the chances that that's going to happen, though?
Good chances.
No, it isn't.
Very good. Yeah. Why isn't it? The Packers, they have to play your Vikings again, so they could lose there. They have to play the Panthers this week. They could lose that one. Then the Lions have to play the Packers. In Green Bay, they could lose that one.
Mm-hmm.
Good chance. What do you mean?
I'm going to punch this computer.
Punch it!
I've had it.
I
can't Because there's an article here that's got the whole odds.
That's what you get.
Of what?
There we go. For
it's amazing.
The devil.
That's right now. That's what happened.
You talk about all that devil talk.
Yeah, talk about that devil museum in Lithuania. Next thing you know, the internet don't work.
I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. That's watch out them devils.
No coincidence.
You speaking in tongues?
That's right. You don't bring up that devil museum in Lithuania, and then you try to log on to the internet, and then, ain't going to work. I'm telling you, man, you put two and two together. That's what I do.
Who stopped your internet?
The devil.
Oh. Devils.
Oh, the devil stopped
it. Yeah, Lucifer. I said, Mr. Cipher. All right. So, sit one game out of the sixth and final playoff spot. Here are the scenarios. Dallas must win out. A head-to-head victory over Seattle would give Dallas the tiebreaker advantage over the Seahawks. Green Bay must lose at least one of its final three games. At Carolina, home versus Minnesota, at Detroit.
That's what I said.
And then Detroit has to lose at least one of its final three games. So,
I don't understand why Detroit needs to
that's
lose
not that. That's not that hard, actually.
I just told you that!
Okay, you got me.
Didn't I just say that?
Okay.
The devil's in you, coach.
I guess so.
I just told you.
It's not that hard.
The Packers could lose to Carolina this weekend. Then the Lions have to go to Lambeau Field. They could lose there at the end of the year. I just told you that.
Devils.
And now the Falcons need to lose. And Carolina need to lose. They're going to play each other. Right? So one of them going to lose. But the Cowboys, you have to win out. Okay? Are you listening? Win out.
Yeah.
And you get Zeke back for the Seattle game. How about that? Watch your knees, though.
How's that going to... How come Atlanta's not involved in this, though?
Atlanta has to lose, I believe. At least one more. And they play Carolina.
Okay, so basically, I got it.
Mm-hmm. You got it now?
It's really not, You got to win all your games.
Just win all your, and Atlanta has to go to New Orleans. Do you think that's going to be an easy game when they go back to New Orleans?
Mm-mm.
They hate the Falcons. Wasn't aware of that until I played for the Saints. They can't stand the Falcons. And vice versa. Falcons don't like the Saints. Who knew? Y'all didn't know that. Nobody knew, coach.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that. That was a rivalry. Hot. Like the devil.
I love how this segment has just been now turned into straight Herm Edwards talk.
That's right. That's what happens. When they get all up in you, that Holy Ghost, you start talking like me.
When you hear this, that's just me hitting return a million times.
What is up?
Because somehow that makes the internet page work.
Man. Did it work?
Yeah, there it is. Look at that. Amazing. So that's all you do. Anybody's listening out of the newsroom, if you need the page to work, just hit return 1,000 times.
Or get a Surface.
Somehow.
No issues whatsoever. No devil in my Surface.
So you might have $500,000 that was lost.
How about that? Because of some damn snow.
Yep. So Adam Vinatieri has a $500,000 incentive.
Yep.
He needs to hit at least 90% of his field goals this season to get it.
Yep. And he was at 95-something?
95.7 before the Buffalo game.
He missed two in that game.
He's now at 88.
Ah!
Ooh.
You bastard! Now that's the devil.
Yeah. So that's going to be...
The devil comes in all forms.
He's still got time. He's still got time.
Yeah, but he has hit about five straight, right?
Yeah, it's
not
crazy.
The last three games, he's been averaging about two a game. So, yeah. Now, how many are at home? Do we know? Let's look it up.
I'm not at home.
Yeah, don't you get the clanking over there, man. I got this. Hold on. Just hold on. Okay. They get the Broncos.
Where?
Thursday. Because that's right. We said it's going to be a riveting matchup.
Where?
At home.
Okay.
Then they go to the Ravens. Then the last one, at home versus the Texans.
Okay, so he's got a good shot.
He's got a good shot.
Man, that would stink.
Get that man his money.
That would stink for
half
him, huh?
$500,000.
They should give it to him anyway. Watch him not kick field goals. Watch him opt to go for it on all fourth downs now the rest of the way. That's why they kept sending him out there. I'm telling you.
How much money we could save?
Yeah.
You know how many pills I can put in that paper bag? If he doesn't get this incentive.
Speaking of pills...
Oh, these are good kind, old folks. Here's the deal. Relief Factor is not just for former or present athletes. Not at all. It's for anyone struggling with pain. Yes, athletes, but also, yes, for anyone with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, foot pain, hand pain, or general muscle aches and pain. You can be 30 or you can be 95. If you're in pain, I suggest you give Relief Factor a try. I can't guarantee it'll work, but here's a tip. Almost 80% of people who ordered a 3-week quick start for only $19.95, they go on to order it again. That's under $1 a day to see if you can use Relief Factor. I use it, and it works. And it's going to work for you as well. And it's 100% drug-free. Did I say that? It's 100% drug-free, honestly. If lowering or eliminating your pain for $19.95 sounds like too much money, then you must not be in too much pain. Order the 3-week quick start for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Or call them, 800-500-8384.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Bogish. He's going to do an update right now.
Call me what you want, George. The Miami Dolphins hadn't fared well in primetime this season, most notably a 40-0 shaming in Baltimore on a Thursday night last month. So a 27-20 Monday night shocker over the Patriots felt good, said running back Kenyon Drake on our Pharrell on the Bench.
You asking about our organization. We went to bed on every National Stage game, so it was really a redemption game.
Drake ran for 114 yards, added 79 receiving. Jarvis Landry caught two of Jay Cutler's 3 touchdown passes, and Xavier Howard picked off Tom Brady twice. The Patriots held to under 250 yards of offense, went 0-for-11 on third down, the first time they didn't have a third down conversion in the game since 1991. Their 8-game overall winning streak and their 14-game road winning streak are over. They have to wait at least one more week to clinch the AFC East, and now the Steelers have a 1-game lead atop the conference ahead of their Sunday meeting in Pittsburgh. No suspensions, maybe fines expected for the Seahawks involved in the altercations at the end of Sunday's loss in Jacksonville, and Eagles QB Carson Wentz officially done for the year with a torn ACL. The Houston Rocket win streak is now 10.
Fans anticipating something fun here. Harden for 3, it's in the air, and it is good! 5 in a row for the Beard! 124-119 Houston.
Craig Ackerman on Rockets Radio. James Harden scored 12 straight Houston points in the final minutes to close out the Pelicans 130-123. Harden finishing with 26 points and a career-high tying 17 assists. The Warriors got by the Blazers 111-104. The Clippers beat the Raptors 96-91. The Hornets a 116-103 win in OKC. And the Celtics took their worst loss of the season in Chicago, 108-85, head coach Brad Stevens.
Sometimes you get your butt kicked. I mean, that was simple as that. Chicago dictated the whole game. They played harder than we did. They played with more presence than we did. Played more competitive than we did. You know, they played with more, you know, authority than we did. And you're not going to win very many games when you play like that.
Kyrie Irving did not play because of a bruised thigh. The Bulls got 24 points from Nico Mirotic and 23 from Bobby Portis. QB Shea Patterson transferring from Ole Miss to Michigan. And SMU has hired Sonny Dykes as its new football coach. He was an offensive analyst at TCU this season after Cal fired him in January after 4 years. Major League Baseball umpire Dale Scott is retiring over concussion issues. He missed most of last season after suffering his second concussion in 9 months and 4th in 5 years. And from the NHL, the Jets stumped the Canucks 5-1. The Capitals' 4-game winning streak ended 3-1 at the Islanders, and the Stars snapped their 3-game skid 2-1 in a shootout over the Rangers. Boys?
All right, thanks, Bogus. Joining us right now, Phil Savage, Senior Bowl Executive Director, Crimson Tide Color Analyst, former NFL GM, and also an author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, Alabama's Relentless Pursuit of Perfection. Phil, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we are.
We are doing very well. So this is an important time of year for you right about now. This is where it all starts ramping up. So what can you tell us about this year's version of the Senior Bowl that's going to be right around the corner?
Well, it's always ramped up, but this is certainly where the drawstring is pulled and it all comes together. But, yeah, we've got over 100 invites out there, and I think as of last night we have close to 80 acceptances back. So we're starting our own countdown to January the 27th, and the rosters are shaping up well. You know, the one thing about our game that I love about it is, and one of the many aspects I really enjoy about it is the fact that, you know, there's no limitation on small school players, and typically we'll have one prospect at each position. This year, we have a number of small school players at a variety of positions, and it gives them a chance to really compete on that biggest of stages. against some of the best in the country. And then it gives them the access to get in front of the teams off the field to interview and make a first impression that way.
Phil, what are some of the criteria before the invites go out? How do you determine who's going to receive an invite?
You know, Brian, really after the draft ends last spring, May 1st or so, we really began putting our list together. We have a watch list that goes out publicly in August. We had over 400 names on it. And then between, you know, my own scouting work, and we have a number of either former scouts or yet-to-be scouts that are out there spread across the country. They get game assignments. I think this year we hit over 300 players, saw them in person throughout the course of the year, either in practices or games, of course, on videotape. And then once we get to probably the middle of October, we start to divvy it up and formulate these North and South rosters. The first round of invites went out November the 1st, and then we've been filling in ever since over the month of November, and now we're getting, you know, the vast majority of them back.
And what's the big – I know there's a huge NFL involvement with your deal. So other than that, what's the big point of difference between your bowl game and the others?
Well, I would say, first of all, because of that partnership with the league, you know, we end up with two NFL staff coaching the game here. So if you're a player that was in a program that runs what I would call a college offense or a college defense, now all of a sudden you're transitioning to the NFL and everybody gets a chance to see you make that adjustment. You know, a quarterback going under center. A linebacker playing on the line of scrimmage over the top of a tight end. You know, just little subtle examples like that. And, of course, this is somewhat the unofficial convention of the NFL. You compare this venue to any of the other ones throughout the year, there'll be almost 1,000 NFL people on the ground here in Mobile. That's the highest volume of NFL people in terms of the concentration in one city throughout the year, because at the Combine, everything is staggered by position. Coaches or scouts are coming in and then leaving, specifically the coaches. So it's a real chance to compete and connect. That's our little hashtag down here. And, you know, we've had some really good high-profile players in recent years, from Carson Wentz to Dak Prescott to Derek Carr to Russell Wilson. So it's a real opportunity to set the narrative for yourself heading into the Combine and the pro days and the rest of this pre-draft run-up.
Gio and Jones with Phil Savage. Why was Alabama the right choice to be the fourth team in the college football playoff?
Well, Gio, I would say they definitely came in through the side door. I mean, when you're a non-conference champion, that means you had to do a lot of things right during the course of the year. I think the committee gave Bama credence for two things. Number one, they recognized them as being the top one or two teams in the country for the better part of the year. And then secondly, their loss to Auburn on the road was more palatable than the Ohio State 31-point loss on the road at Iowa. And I think that really was the difference ultimately. And they'll never say it. It was never discussed. But the pink elephant in the room for them was the fact that Clemson was the number one seed going to New Orleans. We had seen them play Ohio State as recently as last playoff, 31-0, and we've seen two classic games with Alabama. So I don't think that was ever brought up verbally, but the nonverbal communication of a repeat of that matchup, I think it definitely had at least an influence in that committee room.
Oh, yeah, wink, wink. Man, you know how many tickets we could sell for this? Well, they probably sold out as soon as they announced that Bama was four and Clemson was number one and being in close vicinity, Alabama, to New Orleans. So that's a good deal for them. Let me ask you about the health of Bama, because a lot's been made about the linebacker room and how much attrition they've experienced there. Now, we saw a majority of the guys back in that Auburn game, but Sean Dion Hamilton, is he about the only one who's possible that's not going to get a chance to play in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I think he's the one that's definitely been ruled out because of the nature of his knee injury back against LSU. And, you know, I think one of the misnomers, Brian, with the three of the other guys getting back, Mack Wilson, Terrell Lewis, and Christian Miller, is that, you know, Wilson got hurt against LSU, so he had played some, but he was primarily a rotational, situational backer and special team player. And then the other two got hurt in the first game against Florida State. So their experience level, you know, they don't bring a deep resume. I mean, this isn't like you're getting Wilbur Marshall, Otis Wilson, Mike Singletary back. I mean, you're getting three players that will help their depth, but they don't have a ton of play experience. So I tell you, these practices in December, these are the most important practices Bama's had, to my knowledge, in years. And that's been one of the real secrets to Nick Saban's success at Alabama, is when they have improved and elevated throughout December and then shown up almost as a different team, December or January 1st, rather, you know, it was very noticeable. Last year, that didn't happen so much against Washington, and it clearly didn't happen against Clemson. So I'm really expecting Alabama to be not necessarily a different team, but an improved team, certainly from the one that we saw down on the plain.
What type of game do you think we'll get with them and Clemson meeting once again?
Well, it'll be a different cast of characters. I mean, last year, Deshaun Watson was a preeminent talent and leader for Clemson. Alabama had that dominant defense. Seven prospects went off that defense into the NFL draft. So it'll have a different feel, I think, from an Alabama standpoint. Clearly, last year, 2 for 15 on third down. They continued to give the football back to Clemson. Clemson scored 21 points from play number 80 to play number 99. So I think it's pretty easy to say time of possession, play and keep away, Bama's best defense will be an efficient offense. That means they've got to be productive on first and second down to set up more manageable third down situations where Jalen Hurts' legs can really make a difference. But if Clemson sets Alabama behind the stick like they did last year, it was 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11. There were some false starts mixed in. Bama really had trouble throwing themselves, you know, out of trouble from behind the sticks. So that's going to be really, I think, a top priority for the Tide.
What are your impressions of this Clemson's defense as opposed to last season's Clemson defense?
I think they're more experienced and better across the board up front. They don't have as much experience and probably not as quite as talented as they were in the back end a year ago. So, again, it's a different group of players. But I've said, as many have since really August, that Clemson's strength this year was that front seven, the front four specifically. It's arguably the best group of defensive linemen in the country. They have more or less controlled and dictated how the opponent played against Clemson, and that's been their strength while Kelly Bryant has steadily improved. He's had some ups and downs, but he certainly was at his best against Miami.
Gio and Jones with Phil Savage, Senior Bowl Executive Director, Crimson Tide Color Analyst, former NFL GM, and he's got that book out, Fourth and Goal, every day. You, as every time you come on, I bring up the fact that you were the general manager of the Browns when they had a winning season. But generally, smart people go there and they don't act so smart. And we see another firing, Sashi Brown being the latest one, John Dorsey going in. I don't know how well you know Dorsey, if at all. But what do you think about the latest regime change at your old position with the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I would say that obviously John Dorsey is a football man, and they're going to transition away not completely from analytics, but more towards the instinctual scouting and what they're seeing with their eyes and what they think about these players from a personal and ability standpoint. I think John Dorsey is one of many who raised their hand to say, you know what, I'll go into Cleveland with all these extra draft picks and almost $100 million in cap room. If they make wise choices, they could really put a pretty good team together. And, you know, that the struggle there, as you guys know, and it's been well documented, there's just been no continuity through the years. I mean, not only in coaching and scouting, but PR, ticket sales, stadium management, I mean, it's been a different group of people virtually with every regime, and it's just no way to compete when you look across the division and see Cincinnati with Marvin Lewis for 15 years. The Ravens have had basically three coaches since they came to Baltimore in 96, and then Pittsburgh you know, has been the definition of stability through the years. And in that league, you've got to have some level, some degree of continuity between coaching, between the GM, and between the quarterback. Cleveland's had none of those things. Maybe John can bring it to the table. I don't know, guys. Maybe there's something in the water there in Berea. All of us do something crazy when you're there.
Phil, is there a place for analytics in football? I know it works elsewhere. NBA, we're seeing it with the Houston Rockets. Of course, in baseball, that's where it pretty much really made a name for itself. But is there a place for that type of, that inputting that into the equation when you're trying to piece together a football team?
I personally think it's easier to quantify in basketball and baseball because it's a little bit more individual.
Yes.
Individualized sports. Obviously, basketball is less number of people. I think it's tougher in football to do. But listen, I wrote a chapter about it in my book, how the Cowboys and Gil Brandt had a huge influence when Gil came in and consulted with the original Browns in 1992, put in a system. It was not as formalized as analytics is now. It was just a different name. We called it measurables. We called it standards. We called it prerequisites. You know, it's just termed differently. I think it's gone to a different level now. There's definitely a place for it because everybody else in the league is using it, and you don't want to fall behind from a technology standpoint or an intellectual property standpoint. So there's a place for it. I just think it's hard to quantify when you got 22 people out there in a rugby scrum, you know, and sometimes the people that are grading the tapes don't know exactly what the assignments were for the left tackle or the right defensive end or whatever the case might be. So I think it's just a little bit more, it's a little more subjective to me, and it's more black and white in baseball, clearly, and even basketball because of the lesser number of players.
Yeah, Gio, it's like you and I, more black and white, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
he's the black one.
Yeah,
though.
In case you couldn't tell. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about the other matchup in the college football playoff. I've been going back and forth on both of these games. I'm leaning Alabama currently up against Clemson, but Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner, Oklahoma in this offense that can just post numbers like it's no one's business, going up against Georgia's in that running game. I don't know if anyone can stop that running game the way they ran through Auburn in the rematch. How do you see that one shaking out?
Yeah, it's going to be a contrast in styles. And, you know, in the simplest terms, Oklahoma wants to turn it into a track meet, and Georgia wants to turn it into a wrestling match. And so much like Alabama, I think Georgia's best defense will be an efficient offense. And that means to me, just like they did in the Auburn game, they've got to be willing to throw it on first down. I don't think they're just going to be able to line up, you know, I formation football and pound the football without being willing to balance it out with some passing. You know, they won a lot of games this year with Jake Fromm throwing 10, 12, 15 passes a game. I think they've got to throw it more to loosen up Oklahoma and really open up those run lanes for Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. But it's going to be a fascinating contrast in styles. If it turns into a scoring fest, I think Georgia would have a tougher time keeping up. But if that game stays, you know, around 31, 33 points or less, I think Georgia would have a good chance of winning.
My producer wanted me to ask you this since you're down in Alabama. Who are you voting for today?
Oh.
There's an election today.
There you go, Nick Saban, right
we're
there.
We're worried about Alabama and Clemson. I was actually up you guys' way. I was in Philly for Army Navy. I had a meeting at the league office on Friday, and then spent the Sunday at the Giants Cowboys game, and came home yesterday. It took me an hour and a half to get from our apartment there to LaGuardia after pipe bomb showed up.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah. I know.
Hey, man, how about that Army-Navy game? Wasn't that a good one?
It really was. You know, it's such a unique, standalone football tradition. I was telling one of my friends on our broadcast team, I said, you know, you don't compare it to Bama, Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan, because it's so different. And it's just such a special event. Man, if you're a football fan, you got to put it on your bucket list because the names change, obviously, but the two institutions don't. And you're just so impressed when you meet these people in person I mean, the level of operation, the level of detail that they conduct themselves at in terms of their chosen vocation, chosen field, it's staggering. I walk away so impressed every year.
Phil, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. We really appreciate the time this morning.
Guys, not only today, but through the years, I've enjoyed all these interviews. I wish both of you the best of luck in whatever endeavors you're pursuing. And hopefully we'll catch up on the flip side somewhere.
Without a doubt, we will. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, man.
Okay, guys. Really appreciate it.
And Phil Savage.
Speaking of Army-Navy, you posed the question yesterday about the last time I got wispy.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about a documentary you watched over the weekend and didn't come to me. But it was this past weekend as well.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen it, folks, and I don't know where the hell you can find it, but please try to find it. The opening on our CBS broadcast to the Army-Navy game. And actually, during our pregame show, we had a piece on Ivan Jasper and his son, who was waiting awaiting a heart transplant. We were wispy then. Mm. And then the open, prior to kickoff, you're talking about a tearjerker.
Mike's mad at me now.
Well, he should be.
Well, he put it on the rundown this morning.
No, it's my fault. I thought it would stay in-house.
Where on the rundown is that? Right. I don't see it.
I deleted it.
You deleted it.
It was on the first draft.
Ask your Trumpkin who he would vote
for. No. Let's not do that.
No,
I knew Phil would avoid the question. I just figured we'd all laugh.
It's a joke. He's from Alabama.
Yeah, right. But did you
it
talk?
Was a coincidence.
Did you talk to him after?
No, he hung up.
All right, you're gonna text him.
I'm gonna send him a thank you text. Yeah,
and then be like, hey, by the way, that was just great.
Who are you voting for?
No, you can blame it on me.
No, it's fine.
See, there was a time when I was growing up in 6 feet of snow in Lubbock, where you didn't ask those type of questions. We didn't worry about another man's money or their politics.
Yeah.
But now things have changed because it's getting serious.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting an answer. I just wanted to mess around. Just for the record, I wouldn't do that to Phil. I got too much respect for him.
Yeah, of course you'd.
What? I do.
Yeah, right.
What? Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for Phil.
No, you don't.
You just don't see how I act around people that I respect a lot.
That's true.
You haven't seen that part of me. It's hard for you to judge that.
Very true. There's reality and there's perception.
Yeah, that's right. The reality is we're coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Earlier we were talking about the ball boys going to Lithuania to play pro basketball as opposed to staying in California. LiAngelo at UCLA, done. LaMelo, Chino Hills, done. Both of them now playing in Lithuania. Eric in Oklahoma has something to chime in about that. Eric, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening, man?
Well, my wife and I went to Lithuania a couple years ago and visited the Devil Museum.
Huh.
Heard you guys joking about, Christian, I ain't going on the devil. But,
that's Herm Edwards,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, Herm Edwards.
Yep.
Right? I, too, am a Christian, and I didn't find it all that weird. It wasn't satanic or anything, just like a Coca-Cola museum or Santa Claus museum. It was just little devils and trinkets, advertising and things, and little horned guys or little people with pitchforks.
Mm. Okay.
But
do we really know what the devil looks like?
No, I don't think we do.
No.
Comes in all forms, right, Eric?
Technically, he's Lucifer. He's an angel. He's probably supposed to be beautiful. I don't know.
Is the devil black?
I don't think so.
Good. Because you use everything bad in black. Thank you.
Eric, we appreciate that, man. Did you think that Lithuania was a beautiful place?
It's the people are awesome. It's a wonderful country. They're trying to get out of the oppression of a sad communist state.
Yeah.
They want to be America. And I tell you, they have the best cup of coffee. You can take your Seattle coffee. You can take Starbucks. Vero coffee is the best coffee you'll ever have.
Wow.
Interesting.
So is it strong? What's the flavor profile? Oh, yeah, of course it's black. I mean, come on.
Right, yeah. it's all everything good is that way.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do to froth their milk when they're making a latte, but it's the smoothest, heaviest stuff. And then you have a menu where you can choose how you want it brewed, either like the old vacuum kind or any of the different ways that you can brew coffee, you can order that there.
Okay, one last question, Eric. Now, it's civilized because G.O. said it's a disgusting place, and it's modernized, right, certain parts of it?
Yeah, they have mega malls that are bigger than any mall I have ever seen, and I've been to the Great Mall in Chicago, and their stuff is way beyond that. But then, on the other hand, you've got the charming old world,
yeah,
you know, right, castles and things.
Yeah,
so,
like certain parts
place
of Oklahoma. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, it's infinitely better than Enid, Oklahoma.
There you go.
Hey, Eric, thanks for giving us a call this morning.
Appreciate that.
All right, thank you for taking my call.
All right, there he goes.
See, he's fine. He went and saw the Devils.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, he also started off when I said, is it a nice place? And he's like, well, the people are nice. And
he said it's a nice place. It's beautiful. It's nice.
Trying to get out from this communist regime.
Well, of course. It takes a while.
You go to Lithuania because you lose a bet. That's why you go to Lithuania.
Or to play hoops, right?
Yeah, right. All right. We got so much positive response earlier from the call that I played, so I think we have enough time to get it in.
The midget.
Quickly. Well, you just gave it away for the people who didn't hear it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
The midget!
What are you... Oh, it's 2 minutes long? No, it's not. Is it?
Yep.
It is. Minutes.
It says a minute 28 on my sheet.
Two
here.
Minutes.
It's 2 minutes, even
but
with the edit.
Why'd you put a minute 28?
Well, now it's too late.
Yeah,
to
it's too late. So I tell them again, the midget?
Nah, forget it. Now it's totally lost. Yeah. The whole thing. You had to ask 10 questions of the damn caller about Lithuania.
Hey, I want to learn about Lithuania. You're sitting here disparaging the place.
Well, who cares?
I mean, who cares about Long Island? Somebody cares about Lithuania.
Most of the people that live there.
Well, most of the people that live in Lithuania care about Lithuania.
It's not their choice. They're trying to get out. No one wants to go there. Do you
Eric
know?
And his wife wanted to go there.
Okay, that's one person.
There are many out there like Eric.
That want to go to Lithuania.
Yes.
Okay.
That want to go there.
Sure. So go.
Okay. When it warms up.
Exactly. Man,
there's certain places you avoid in America, right? Because of the weather?
Well, now I'm annoyed.
Why?
Because I want to play that clip again, and it was funnier than anything we're doing now.
Oh, well. Just
one more question, Eric.
Be annoyed then.
One more question. Can I squeeze it? You gave me like the one more sign with a caller. Let me just squeeze this one
because
in.
I want to know about the country. No. You're dogging it.
You can't... Right, because that's just what we do.
That's what you do.
Yeah, but no, it's what we do.
No, you.
And then you got to sit
there. I'm taking up for Lithuania.
You got to think about the listeners and what they want, not
they
what
wanna
you want.
They want to know that Lithuania is not like you've characterized
they
it to
They
want to
laugh.
Be.
I thought you were going to ask about his favorite European spot you've been to in Lithuania to get the best burgers. That's how you end interviews.
Or say hi to my buddy Joe.
Yeah. If you go back to Lithuania... Say hi to Magnus.
It won't be Joe. Mary Joe. You still annoyed?
Yes. Go back to the podcast. What was it? Hour two? Played at hour two. It's in the middle of hour two. And listen back to that audio. Maybe we'll play it tomorrow again in our last segment.
It's evergreen. Come on, let's play it tomorrow.
Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.